Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And there was a great conversation that we had with Brockton Police Officer Nancy Lieberg. We switch gears, and joining us on the line, as he does once a month, we have Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter joining us, Joe. Any thoughts on that before we get into deep conversation here?
No, I'm looking forward to hear about some of the stuff going on in Brockton, and I hear of a lot of the stuff that's going on. We can hear it right from the guy you're in charge.
Hey, you're soon to be a Brockton resident, right?
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. That's in progress.
Good evening, Mayor. How are you doing?
We're going to have to talk about immigration reform for the city of Brockton.
Mayor, what's going on?
Hey, well, first of all, good evening, Kevin, Joe. Great to be back on with you guys on WATD. And if I can, just a quick plug. I heard you had Officer Lieberg of Brockton Police on just before me, and she does a great job for us. I've worked with her for years, long before becoming mayor, particularly around the Not My Kid program, which is a drug awareness training for the parents of middle school age kids that she's done a great job with for years. In my administration and working with the chief of police, we have definitely expanded her role. You know, we're trying to get her in touch with and working with more families. We're certainly expanding the horizon of the parental informational workshops. So, you know, a couple of these upcoming things around social media and around recognizing signs that your child may be experimenting with drugs. This is just critical information, and our the Officer Lieberg does a great job of presenting it. Our challenge is to get more parents in front of her, so that I hope parents in the Brockton area will take advantage of those upcoming dates.
Excellent, and that's a great. You actually mentioned our segue to conversation, and that is Brockton Police Chief. Oh, police commissioner, however you're calling him.
No, he's the chief. We never got that commissioner thing done. He's the chief.
All right. So talk to us about Bob Hayden. How's he doing?
Yep. Chief Hayden is continuing to improve. It's all good news. You know, for folks who aren't familiar, back about 3 weeks or so ago, Chief Hayden, while riding his bicycle on a Sunday in Hingham during one of his training bicycle runs, was hit by a car and seriously injured. He was hit by an SUV that I think was doing about 40 miles an hour. So he survived, but with some significant injuries, most notably 11 broken ribs that are broken in multiple places. The low point a couple weeks ago when the chief had to have emergency surgery for internal bleeding at the South Shore Hospital. But since that point, his progress, his recovery has been steady and upward. The chief is now over at the Braintree Rehab Facility, doing his physical therapy, continuing to heal and get stronger every day. And he is 100% committed to returning to Brockton, and we're 100% committed to having him back.
Now, while he is recovering, I'm sure you have the department is in good hands at this moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, ironically, the chief was he had decided to take some vacation time during the summer, as we had planned, and the chief was on vacation at the time of the accident. So he had already appointed Lieutenant John Crowley to be his acting chief in his stead while he was not available. So I really haven't had to do anything. That appointment has remained in place, and Lieutenant Crowley is filling in for the chief and running the police department on a day-to-day basis. And other than that, nothing else changes. The remainder of the command structure of the police department, you know, remains the same as it always would. Lieutenant Crowley is at the helm. The great thing now is that the chief has recovered to the point that Lieutenant Crowley is able to check in with him on the phone on a regular basis, and, you know, they talk about things. So I think folks should feel very comfortable that we've got a great veteran officer like Lieutenant Crowley, who is running the police department, doing a terrific job, and is also in communication with Chief Hayden on a regular basis.
Mayor, what are some of the, you know, I guess, newer developments with some of the things that Chief Hayden has done in the city of Brockton? You know, before and even currently, since he's been injured.
Well, I think a number of things. I think, you know, an emphasis on being, I think the biggest change is in a couple places. First of all, in the morale of the troops, the Brockton Police Department was a divided and dispirited group when Chief Hayden came on. He's turned that around 180 degrees, and people see it on the streets of the city. Just in the nature of the way that the police are responding to calls, it's fast, it's furious, it's really something to see, and I think part of that is due to the fact of the improved morale, that everybody is on the same page, they know they're under leadership that cares about them, and they all share the same goal of making the city of Brockton a safer place. And I think hand in hand with that comes this change in perspective and approach that, you know, Chief Hayden really believes in proactive policing. And he has freed up some of the officers from responding to 911 calls. And we have a proactive neighborhood patrol that is primarily motorcycles now, one of the other most noticeable differences.
Right.
But we have police officers both on motorcycles, cruisers, and a wagon, patrolling the streets on a regular basis, proactively looking for street-level crime, quality of life crimes, as the chief likes to call them. Mm. And that could be street-level drug dealing, prostitution, drinking in public, anything that affects the quality of life of the folks living in the neighborhoods of this city. The police are proactively cleaning up the streets. I think you've seen a big increase in the number of arrests of drug dealers. One of the changes the chief made is he beefed up both the narcotics and gang detective units, and particularly the narcotics unit. And for the first 6 months of this year, felony arrests are up about 50% over a year ago. And a lot of that is, you know, drug dealers and gang leaders being arrested. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of changes. The proactive street-level patrols, the beefing up of the narcotics unit, and a real focus on getting drug dealers off the streets of our city. The attitude and spirit of the troops. And it's just been a whole new direction under Chief Hayden that is being very well received by the residents of this city.
Again, we're speaking with Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter, and we're talking about some of the things that are going on in the city of Brockton. I guess I want to kind of move to the next kind of level of crime fighting, that you, an initiative that you've kind of put forth that you're proposing in regards to businesses and bar owners. What's the update? Last I heard that might be a little bit of a, you've had a chance to meet with some of the bar owners and businesses in regards to putting in surveillance systems.
Yeah, so I mean, and this is a philosophy that the chief and I have both embraced and we're working on together, and that is we believe one of the proactive things that we can do to make Brockton a safer place is to greatly expand the use of video surveillance cameras, primarily in outside public places. And one piece of that, certainly, Kevin, as you alluded to, has been my efforts to have the License Commission enact a regulation that would require bars and taverns and restaurants serving alcohol to have video surveillance systems that would meet certain minimum requirements and be required to be kept operable at all times and be required to be available to law enforcement at all times. And so you're right. There was some pushback from the establishment owners on the original proposal. So I sent out a letter to everybody and said, let's sit down and talk about it. So I hosted a private meeting here in City Hall a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, where I basically invited the establishment owners to come in and speak directly with me and express their concerns. And this was not a public meeting. There was no public, no media, no law enforcement, no license commission, just a chance for the establishment owners to come in and sit in a room with me and have a open and honest two-way conversation. And I'll tell you, somewhere around 35 or 40 establishment owners showed up. We spent about an hour and a half together, and it was a great conversation. And based upon that, I have modified some sections of the original proposal to, I think, address the concerns of these folks who are small business owners. And there's no greater supporter of small businesses than me. So, you know, recognizing the fact that they are small business owners, you know, city government has to work with these folks, not against them. And that was what my effort was. And I think coming out of it, you'll see at the next License Commission hearing a revised version of the proposal that does lessen the requirement a little bit in some areas, but I still feel very comfortable, accomplishes what we were looking to do, still has some teeth in it, and we'll get done. I think one thing that we all agreed upon is we all want to make Brockton a safer place, and the establishment owners do want to be involved in that. So I feel real good about where we're at. It'll be a modified proposal, and that's okay. That was the reason for the meeting. But the result will be that by November 1st, every establishment serving liquor in the city will have a video surveillance system that shows the outside areas around their establishments and also gives a clear shot of the patrons entering and exiting the establishment. So I think we now have something that has over 90% support, and we'll make a big difference. It's just another tool. And the chief and I talk about this battle for Brockton.
Right.
And this is part of it. The motorcycles are part of it. Bringing code enforcement into neighborhoods is part of it. We're kicking off a campaign this upcoming week to dramatically reduce the amount of graffiti here in the city. I've allocated some community development block grant funds this year for graffiti removal. And with the help of the city council, we have amended the city's nuisance ordinance to now specify failure to remove graffiti within 72 hours as a violation of the city's nuisance ordinance. So we're not looking to punish property owners, but we are looking for them to be responsible and to work with us, and we will offer assistance in removing graffiti. But, you know, we've got to get the graffiti out of this city and keep it at a minimum. I've looked at what works in other cities, and the only thing that works is removing it as fast as it's put up. Otherwise, you lose the battle, and I'm not willing to lose that battle.
Okay. Well, this kind of a common thread that ties into my next topic, and that is, what's the latest with city businesses? I know that you had talked about bringing in, having some kind of a Main Street manager, someone who can work with some of the businesses. Where do things kind of stand with some of the city businesses and some of your conversations with them?
Well, there are a lot of things going on, but to specifically answer the question about the Main Street manager, yep. I am very excited. Earlier today, Kevin, as a matter of fact, the Brockton 21st Century Corporation officially announced that they have hired Gary Leonard to serve as the city's Main Streets coordinator.
Oh, great guy.
Yeah, outstanding choice.
Yep, yep.
I don't think they could get a better guy than Gary Leonard, guy who's been in the city his entire life, has been in the business community here his entire adult life, was one of the founding members of the Campello Business Association, helped the businesses in the north side in the formation of the Montello Business Association, and a guy who just has a great reputation and great credibility in the city. So I am really excited. I believe that Gary will officially begin his duties 1 week from today, on the 28th. But the B-21 did make the official announcement earlier today. I was made aware of it a couple weeks ago, but they had to finalize an employment contract and all that sort of thing. But this was something I talked about repeatedly during the campaign. The Main Streets program is a national model. It was embraced by Menino in Boston in the late 90s. He started off with 11 Main Street managers. When he retired, he had over 30 of them. And a Main Street manager basically, in a variety of areas, works with the redevelopment and the reinvigoration of urban business districts, and primarily by reutilizing existing spaces. So Gary will hit the ground running. If I know Gary, he's probably already working this week before he's even getting paid. But I'm real excited about, this was absolutely one of my stated goals during the campaign, that we would bring the Main Streets program to Brockton, and with the cooperation of the Brockton Redevelopment Authority and the Brockton 21st Century Corporation, we've been able to do that. I'm actually funding that position with some of the community development block grant funds that come in from the federal government through HUD into the BRA, and met with the HUD folks. That funding is used in a number of other cities. They were 100% on board. So Main Street manager hitting the ground running next week. So Gary will actually start, 1 week from today on the 21st. That evening, the Finance Committee of the City Council will meet, and on that agenda will be a recommendation for the confirmation of the new city planner. And that's another important position, another commitment that I made during the campaign that's critically important to the business and development communities here. I've selected, I believe, an outstanding candidate, and a gentleman named Rob May, who had extensive experience in the city of Somerville, worked in Chicago before that, has been at UMass Boston and at the Collins Center for the past couple of years, but really itching to get back into the game. He sees Brockton as a great opportunity for him. We see him as a great opportunity for us for the first time in 7 years to reestablish a legitimate planning department here in the city. And that all ties together. So, you know, having the Main Street manager to work with the small businesses, having the city planner to work with investors and developers in helping to bring them in and having them be able to initiate and complete projects in the city, and also work on rezoning large sections of the city, which I believe is one of the keys to future growth and development here in the city. Our zoning is archaic. We've got to get it updated. We've got to be zoned in order to attract the types of businesses we want to bring in and keep the types of businesses we don't want out. And that's what zoning is all about. And, you know, that process will begin in August as soon as Rob May receives a council confirmation as our city planner.
I have to say, of all the guests that we've had here on Monday Night Talk, you're like a segment maker. I can be able to make a segment with you and then segue from that in a certain point. And that you mentioned about businesses that are wanted and businesses that may not be wanted. The longstanding conversation that has droned on for going on 10 years about a proposed power plant. Any talks or any movements with that particular project?
As of today, no. But I think that you will see some action in the relatively near future, Kevin. To give you, first of all, during the campaign, you know, I think my position was pretty clearly stated over and over. I felt that, and I do still feel, pending a formal report. But you know, my feelings during the campaign were that. That the city had itself locked up in what was becoming an extremely costly legal battle that was going to continue to cost more money, that would become a burden or has become a burden on the taxpayers, and that at some point continuing to throw good money after bad does not make any sense, and that, you know, my goal would be to seek a settlement with the developers of the gas-fired electric plant. But I would only make a settlement if I thought it was in the best interest of the residents of the city. And despite what some may say, if that settlement were to ever happen, it would have to be done with the city council being a partner to it. So along those lines, you know, for the past few months, I've been doing my due diligence, and I've asked the solicitor to prepare a formal report for me outlining all the various open pieces of litigation between the developers of the plant and the city, and really give a clear view of the origin of that litigation, the current status of it, how much money each piece of litigation has cost us up until now, and then give me some realistic projections on future costs and what the likely outcomes will be. And so that report has been being worked on for a little bit, and I'm actually hoping to have that in my hands, Kevin, before the end of the month. And once I do get that, I will review it thoroughly. I will share it with the city council, as I've told them all along. And then with that information in hand, then I will begin to make decisions in the best interests of the city and proceed in the direction that I believe will be best. But, you know, this is very complex, and I think some of the Stop the Power people expected me to be down there on January 7th with a shovel in my hand ready to break ground on the new plant. But I think I've been very deliberate. I think I'm doing my due diligence, and in whatever direction we proceed, it will be well thought out before we go that way. And it is complex. There are 7 different outstanding litigations going on right now today between the developers of the plant and the city, everything from administrative appeals with state agencies to appeals to the Supreme Judicial Court, which I think three of those are pending, to a $68 million civil rights lawsuit that the developers have filed against the city. And so, you know, in order to look at this, we can't look at it piecemeal. And why we've taken some time with this is that if I were to pursue a settlement to end all this litigation, it would have to be a universal or a global settlement that would encompass all outstanding litigation. So when you start talking about that, you're talking about a lot of different pieces of litigation, a lot of different defendants and issues, and so it would be no small task if we are ever able to come to some sort of a comprehensive agreement. But I am expecting to have that comprehensive formal report from the solicitor by the end of this month, and I will review it. I'll share it with the council, and then I'll begin to make decisions and move in the direction that I feel is in the best interest of the residents of the city.
And we are talking to the mayor of Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter on WATD. Mayor, what is
95.9?
That's right, 95.9.
I'm probably the only guy in the city of Brockton that actually knows what WATD stands for.
Yeah, no, well, you know, maybe.
Well, you know, I was a Marshfield resident at the time the station came on the air way back in the, I guess it was in the 70s.
Yeah, it's still fondly thought of that from time to time. People once in a while will say that on the air. If you want.
You were actually at the dump in the early days.
That is correct.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Joe, what's your question?
What is this kind of the outcome, or what has been the outcome of the pilot program to get nonprofits to contribute a little bit to the city? I know that was something that you were working on, and I know it was immensely successful in the city of Boston for a long time. And now bringing it to Brockton, kind of what has been the result after your initial meeting on that?
Well, I guess, Joe, I would say it's an ongoing process, and we knew it would. In the cities, as you say, like Boston, that have done this effectively, and you know what Joe is referring to is nonprofit corporations making voluntary payments to the city in lieu of property taxes because of the fact that as nonprofit organizations they're exempt. And I have advocated, and I continue to advocate, that the larger nonprofit organizations need to start helping out here in the city of Brockton. What we've seen happen in the city, particularly over the last 10 or 15 years, as real estate prices have been down, the nonprofits have been buying up a lot of the property in the city. I mean, they've expanded dramatically. So folks in the surrounding communities don't want to hear this, but I mean, Brockton is the hub or dumping ground, however you want to put it, of almost every single social service and nonprofit agency. And the larger nonprofits, and I'm talking about, you know, Brockton Hospital, the YMCA, BAMSI, the real large nonprofits, the Neighborhood Health Center, quote-unquote nonprofit organizations who pay their CEOs six-figure salaries. And we've identified about 20 of them that own millions of dollars worth of real estate here in the city that pay absolutely no property taxes. Yet, what's occurred here in the city is they have become a huge draw on our public safety resources. I mean, we spoke earlier in the interview about, you know, what's going on with the police? What are we doing to reduce crime? Well, that stuff all costs money.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is that many of these nonprofits draw heavily upon our police and fire departments, yet don't contribute. So, you know, it's an ask. You know, we can't force anybody to make payments to the city in lieu of taxes, but it's an ongoing conversation that I'm having with the nonprofits, and it's a conversation I will continue to have, and I'm looking forward to meeting with several of them over the fall to continue those negotiations. But I believe what's occurred here in the city is our commercial property tax base has shrunk. And it shrunk for a couple reasons, the economy being part of it. But a major reason it has shrunk is that so much property has been acquired by nonprofit organizations, and then it goes off the tax roll. So now the folks and the businesses that are remaining here in the city, a smaller and smaller group of people are being asked to carry a larger and larger burden because of the fact of so much real estate going into tax-exempt status being purchased by the nonprofits. So I didn't expect, Joe, that they'd be lined up at my door the next day, the day after I started talking about this with their checkbooks in hand.
Yeah.
But I do think it's an ongoing public discussion, and I'm cautiously optimistic that over the course of the next year that you'll see some of these nonprofit organizations begin to enter into pilot agreements with the city.
Well, again, we're speaking with Brock DeMitt, Bill Coppin. We have just a few moments left, but we definitely thank having you on a regular basis to kind of talk about what's going on in the community of Brockton. And a lot of what happens in Brockton affects a lot of the surrounding communities.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And one thing that I think that the surrounding communities, your listening area, has seen a difference in the first 6 months of my administration is that I am willing to be involved in regionalization. It's a regional economy nowadays. Mm-hmm. We don't have individual economies that stop at the town lines or the city borders. So I do believe that as Brockton goes, the whole county and the whole southeastern region goes. And I do believe that there are opportunities for partnerships between Brockton and its neighbors. And, you know, particularly in the areas of economic development and in water and sewer, you know, Brockton is uniquely positioned with water and sewer assets. And, you know, we're willing to share some of them with our neighbors and work on regional efforts. So I think that, you know, economic revitalization, while obviously my focus is on the city of Brockton, that focus is in the context of a much larger picture, knowing that we're part of a regional economy here of southeastern Massachusetts.
We just get like 2 or 3 minutes left, Mayor, and I want to give you enough time.
Well, if Rossi wouldn't talk so much, I'd have a little more chance.
We want to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about couple of hidden gems of the city of Brockton that your administration is kind of trying to shine a light on. That is the revitalized DW Field Golf Club and also the Brockton Rocks.
I appreciate that, Kevin and Joe. Yeah, for folks that are listening, if you would like to try out a new place to play golf, a great municipal golf course, come over and check out DW Field Golf Course here in the city of Brockton. If you've been here in recent years, come back and check it again. We've made a major investment in the DW Field Golf Course this year. The playing conditions are spectacular. It's an 18-hole public course, lowest greens fees in the area for an 18-hole golf course. Peak time is $32 on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and with weekday specials that are even more affordable. We've made a number of improvements there, Kevin. The playing conditions particularly are spectacular. The greens are fast. We've really got the course in great shape. We've kept the greens fees low. We now have online booking of tee times, which you can do right online at dwfieldgolfcourse.com. Or for those that, there's also a national website that you can book the golf now, that you can book the tee times on also. But up to 7 days advance booking of tee times online. We are serving beer and wine now. We're able to handle tournaments there now. So I know a lot of golfers like to travel around the region and check out the different courses. This is a classic Stiles and Van Cleef design 18-hole mature track. So come on over and check out DW Field Golf Course. And, of course, at this time of the year, we also have to talk about Campanelli Stadium and the Brockton Rocks. I was just there this past Friday night. From Friday night home games, there are fireworks after the game, so it's a great family event. But we've got new ownership here with the Rocks this year. Chris English and his group have made a substantial investment in both the team and the stadium. The stadium is sparkling and looks brand new. Also, brand new infield and other improvements. The tickets are affordable, starting at $5. I mean, you can go to a baseball game at Campanelli Stadium for a lot less money than it costs to go to the movies. And they play through about the 8th of August, so we still have a few weeks left of the baseball season here with the Brockton Rocks. So we hope that folks will come on out and visit Brockton, but particularly come on out to Campanelli Stadium, catch a ball game. BrocktonRocks.com, all of their promotions and ticket prices and scheduling is all available online at BrocktonRocks, R-O-X, BrocktonRocks.com.
We want to thank you so much. We're just about out of time, but we're going to have you in studio with a couple of other South Shore mayors. Looking forward to that on August 4th.
Really? Did I agree to that?
Your staff did.
Yeah, that's quite often how these things get done. Yeah, my chief of staff. No, all kidding aside, I'm really looking forward to it. I've had a chance to get to know Mayor Kay and Mayor Sullivan a little bit, and I'm looking forward to meeting Mayor, how do I pronounce his name?
Coke.
Thank you. Mayor Coke of Quincy. So it's one thing I've really got a handle on pretty quickly is there is a fraternity among the mayors. This mayor gig is a very unique position for an elected office, and I think that most cities share most of the same challenges. Mm-hmm. And what I've really found is veteran mayors, particularly like a guy like Joe Sullivan in Braintree, have just been a great help to me as a new mayor, as in letting themselves to be resources and being willing to sit down and talk with me. I went down and met with Tom Hoy in Taunton a couple weeks ago. I've met with Marty Walsh a couple times. Of course, he and I were sworn in on the same date. But you know, there really is a great sense of fraternity among the mayors, and so I'm looking forward to having the chance to sit down with those mayors, Kevin.
Well, we thank you for being here this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 4th.
Joe, Kevin, it's always a pleasure to be on 95.9. Thank you for inviting me.
You got it. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.